Good, and once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Today we're going to imagine something together, okay? So I want you to imagine something with me. Because in the first reading, you heard the story of how God appeared to King Solomon and said, Solomon, ask me for anything in the whole world that you want, and I'll give it to you. I want you to imagine what you would do if God said that to you. What would you do if God says anything in the whole world? And by the way, just as an aside, your answer to that question says a lot about where you are in the spiritual life. But that's just as an aside. Anything at all that you... What would you ask for? What would you ask for? Would you ask for money? Or health? Or for your house to finally sell? Or have a better short game in golf, right? God Almighty standing before you, for the love of God, ask for something big. Remember what Solomon asked for? What did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. God Almighty is standing before you and he says, I can give you anything in the entire world. And Solomon asks for wisdom? What the heck? I mean, do you think in a million years, you in that same situation would give that same answer? And you say, well, you know, it's a Bible story. And, you know, that's the kind of thing Bible story characters are supposed to ask for. They're supposed to ask for things like wisdom. But I mean, come on. I mean, is there anything more abstract, more unimaginative, is there anything more boring than asking for wisdom? Yes? Yes? No? You know what we're going to do today? Just one simple thing. I want to help make it clear just how great a thing wisdom really is. That's all we're going to do today. You know, because what is wisdom? For goodness sakes, what is wisdom? Well, you already know this much. It's not the same thing as knowledge. Because you already know people who have plenty of book smarts, right? They don't have any street smarts. I mean, you know, they got plenty of knowledge. I mean, they could tell you the value of pi to the 10th decimal place, right? But they don't have any wisdom. And you've also known people who are the contrary. Maybe they don't have a whole lot of formal education, right? Maybe they can't name you the capital of Zimbabwe, but they got wisdom. They might not have book smarts, but they got street smarts. And don't get me wrong, knowledge is a good thing. It's just that wisdom is so much better. What is wisdom? It's really simple. Wisdom is the ability to see things as they really are. Wisdom is the ability to know what's really of value in life. Wisdom knows the difference between the things in life that matter and the things that never did. So let's think about that for just a second, you know? Just think about that for just a second. What are the things in life that matter? What are the things that are so valuable? Well, what do people live their life chasing after? What do people live their life chasing after? I'll cut right to the chase and give you the answer. The answer is everybody's looking for some kind of happiness. Understood in the broadest possible sense, right? Meaning in life, purpose in life, joy, peace for yourself or to give to somebody else. Everyone, in whatever they do, they always want happiness. For example, you'll never find anybody who says, you'll find people, for example, who will say, what good is all the money in the world if it doesn't make you happy? You'll never find anybody who says the opposite, right? You never find anybody who says, gosh, what good is happiness if it doesn't make you rich? Everything that we do because we think we're going to make us happy. And I'll cut right to the chase here. Wisdom knows where it's found. Wisdom understands that the happiness you're seeking for is found in God and the things of God. And foolishness, by contrast, does not understand that. You could say that in our own time, we're living in a time of highly educated fools. Highly educated, right? Plenty of book smarts. But these people chase after things in life that ultimately are of no value. Because, I mean, listen, 5 minutes after you're dead, it's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, how big your house was, what your title was. What's amazing, I'm with people as they're dying. And when people realize they only got a few, you know, months left to live, they can see the foolishness of all the things they chased after in life. I'm telling you, what most people live their whole lives chasing after, it's worth less than a bucket of warm spit, to put it bluntly. And what is a value? What is a value? What's a value is friendship with God. And the gospel that we just heard is a story of little parables addressed to people who have not yet realized that. You hear the story of the pearl of great price. You hear the story of the treasure buried in the field. I'm not going to go over all of them, but what do these parables all have in common? They have one thing in common. They tell the story of someone who saw something that was of such great value that they traded everything they had to get it. A merchant in search of fine pearls. Talking about a businessman here. This guy knows a bargain when he sees it, right? And he says, you mean I can get that pearl and all I have to give you is this? Deal. Deal. And they do this not because they're forced to, not because they're compelled to, but because they want to. They see the great value in it. I love the line that we had from our psalm response. Just think about this for a minute. You see, you might not have even realized that you sang it in the psalm response. It says, Lord, your commandments are more valuable to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. In a million years, would you ever utter those words and actually mean them? Think about it. Lord, your commandments are worth more to me than thousands of gold pieces. Imagine, if you will, a kid in the city. All he wants to do is be a great basketball player. One day, a limousine pulls up. Out of the limousine steps LeBron James, walks up to the kid, says to him, kid, I'm going to teach you everything that I know about how to play basketball. And the kid drinks it in, laps it up, right? Every last word he remembers. Why is he so fixated on every last instruction that this great basketball player is giving to him? Because he values being a good basketball player. That's why. Well, the commandments of God show us what it means to be a great human being. Do we value them? Of course we should. But here's the trouble. Most people don't. Let's just be honest. Most people would never do the things that these characters in the gospel would do. And you want to know why they wouldn't do it. It's very simple. Most people don't yet know the great difference that friendship with God really makes. Most people haven't yet realized the great difference that friendship with God really makes. And as a consequence of that, you know, people, they try to shoehorn God into their life. They'll get to church, you know, if they can, squeeze it in between soccer and dance practice or something else. Or you hear people say, I really should pray more, but I just don't have time, right? Sound familiar? You just have to realize that whenever you say, I don't have time for anything, that you're making a value judgment every single time. Consider, you always have time for what you value the most. If your kids are sick and you have to rush them to the hospital, what do? Throw everything else out the window. You take them to the hospital because you have time for what matters most. You say, I don't have time to get to church. I don't have time to pray. It's a value judgment. And you want to know why people make that value judgment? They haven't yet realized how much difference the things of God make. They haven't yet logged on to what Solomon knew, to what these characters in the gospel knew. They don't know the value of wisdom. Now, there are ways people find this out. I would say there's four common ways that people learn just how valuable close friendship with God is. One way is after they've had some kind of repeated experience with really big sin. This often happens with sins of substance abuse or sins of sexual immorality. Something inside them just feels so dirty. They just want to be clean. It's almost like they want to vomit up all that uncleanness, make a brand new start. People can find their way to God after that experience. Some people find their way to God after years and years of living in mediocrity. Do you know what I'm talking about? It feels like this. You wake up every single day, you do the same gosh darn thing. Same day, different stuff over and over and over again, like running, like a hamster on the treadmill, and something inside of you wants to scream and say, there's got to be more to life than this. Some people find their way to God because of that. Some people find their way to God because of a sudden grace. But you know the greatest way that people find their way to God? Because of the good example of someone they know. By and large, whenever I've found people that have really discovered their faith, and you ask them about it, this is what you discover. Someone they knew showed them what it meant to live a sincere Christian life. Somebody who showed them how joyful they can be, how filled with peace they can be, even when things are not going well, even when things are at their worst. I could tell you a few stories of this. Story of a saint, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She's better known as Edith Stein. Now, I'm just curious. Whoever here has heard of Edith, raise your hand if you've heard of Edith Stein. Okay, so a few people have. For those of you who haven't, I'll tell you. Astonishing woman. This woman, consider this. At the age of 25, she was already a full professor at the university in Germany, and this in the year 1916. Germany in 1916 was not exactly known for its progressivism. She was a genius. Pinnacle of her career at the age of 25, and she was absolutely miserable because she was raised in an agnostic household. Jewish by ancestry, but not by faith. Her father told her things like, you know, maybe there's a God and maybe there's not, but it doesn't really matter. So the best thing you can do in life is just ignore the question. Agnostic. And she was deeply, deeply unhappy, deeply unsatisfied with it. She couldn't figure out where she was supposed to go. One day after World War I, a friend of hers from school wrote to her, said, please come and visit me. My husband was killed in the trenches, fighting in the Battle of Flanders. So she goes and visits this woman in Belgium. Discovers, to her astonishment, that this woman, although grieving, don't get me wrong, was filled with peace, even with joy, in a knowledge of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and in God's perfect providence. She was totally blown away. She said, let me get this straight. Here's a woman with a real problem in her life, right? I mean, her husband died decades and decades and decades earlier than he should have in a terrible, senseless war. And her belief in God gives her that much meaning and peace. She was blown away. She's on her way back home, walking through the city, sees a woman walk into church, kneel down in the church, and start praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And she says, wow. Here's somebody with a vibrant daily relationship with a living Christ. She goes home, she takes the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, reads it cover to cover in one night, closes the book. Next morning she says, this is the truth. And she converts to the Catholic faith. Astonishing life. Poor woman. She was killed in Auschwitz by the Nazis in 1942. They didn't care that she had converted to the Catholic faith. All they cared about was her Jewish ancestry. Gave life and joy and hope to these poor people in the prison in their last days. Astonishing. I could tell you so many more stories. Francis of Assisi is another great story. You probably already know the life of St. Francis. Son of a wealthy cloth merchant, here's a guy who had it all. Plenty of money, lots of career prospects. Every girl in town wanted to be with him. Every guy in town wished that they were more like him. Francis threw it all away because he found something far more valuable, just like these characters in the gospel did. He found the pearl of great price. He had wisdom. He knew the value of great closeness to God. And compared to that, everything else, and I mean everything else this world could possibly offer, was like nothing at all. I'll tell you a story from the news just recently. And this one was in the news just recently. Chinese Communist Party goes to a poor village in the hills somewhere in China, says to all the people there that if they don't renounce their Catholic faith, they will no longer receive government assistance. Not just government assistance, but assistance that they needed to live. You know what the people said? They said, you keep your money, we'll keep our faith. Because they knew what really mattered. They knew the value of wisdom because they know what leads to happiness and they understood that God has a monopoly on it. Now, that's what we need to understand too. So you see, there's a little bit more to wisdom than you might have imagined. If you want to be truly rich, set your heart on what's truly valuable. Or, to put it another way, that man is no fool who exchanges what he cannot long keep for that which he can never lose. That's the wisdom of the gospel. That's the wisdom of the saints. Let's pray that it's our wisdom as well.